So the question is could you take a shower on a regular fast day? So the Ram says in Tainios, Hilchos Tainios, Aleph Yud Dalet, Kol HaSharoi B'Tainios. Anyone who is like Sharoi, like resting or, you know, involved in a Tainios, Bein Shayim Asayin Al Tzaraso, whether it's for his Tzara or Chalomo, or it's on his dream, Bein Shayim Asayin Ema Tzibor Al Tzaraso, or it's on the with a Tzibor, Harizel Lo Yinug Yidunim Ba'atzmo. He shouldn't be involved in like pleasures. He's doing him luxuries with himself. Lo yikal rosho, or should he have like kalas rosh, light, you know, like lightheaded or whatever. Lo yasameach v'tov lev, shouldn't be happy, good spirited. El doeg v'onen, should be like worried and stressed. Kinyan shemar ma'ison adam chay gever al chatov. What's a person worried about? A person for his sins. Okay. It continues, but that's all that's relevant for this. So I think that's Idunim. So I think if you take a like luxurious shower, then that comes under that. Or if you'd sit in a jacuzzi, you know, something like that. So having like that kind of thing. But if, I think if you're just hot or dirty, you just take a normal quick shower, you know, soap, shampoo, and out, you know. I don't think there's a problem with that.
In the morning, let's say you have to go to work that day. Just like freshen up for
yeah, I don't think that's Idunim. Freshen up isn't Idunim. Idunim is like, you know, sometimes it means like sometimes you shower, you just want to like chill out. You know, turn on the shower hot and just relax and think and whatever, you know? So that's like a jacuzzi buddy standing up, you know, that kind of thing. And that's Idunim. But I don't think just throwing before you go to work is that considered that. Yeah.
Isn't that against the
past day? What, to pleasure? Or what? To take a shower altogether? Well, it depends what kind of thing. If you're, I think that's the idea, is the idea of a fast day is a day of like tshuva and that type of a thing, introspection. So to stop being involved in a pleasure and a luxury, that's against the idea of a fast day. But if you're just washing yourself because you're dirty or you want to freshen up, that's not against the fast day. It's not on Tisha B'Av you can't because there's Inuyim. You do like Pain, Yom Kippur, and Tisha B'Av. Other ones don't have that. You know, so there's a separate thing. There's to luxuriate or the Kalas Rosh. There's a mindset idea of a tshuva, of a tainus, is a day of tshuva. So a person should be involved in thinking into his time and introspection, and that's like to sit and just enjoy yourself and to pamper yourself. That's contrary to the idea of the Yom. But just because you're dirty and you don't feel, you know, you just don't feel good and whatever, that's not, you know, I think it's like indulging in the shower. It's like a certain sheer, you know. Yeah. Okay. Next. Yeah. Oh, I have your question also. I forgot about it.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it a little bit.
So. Okay. Yeah, but we could do it. It doesn't matter.
I know what you're
thinking.
You know what you're discussing?
What?
Yeah, no, I just said okay.
What's
yeah.
wrong with you?
No, I'll start with
her. Yeah. Yeah. So we have an idea of like mitzvahs is like. They're like good for a person and like protect them.
Yeah.
Like the more person is involved in this list, I guess they'll have like better ideas and relationships to things like that.
Right.
But like if that were the only idea, then like I don't know, like let's say that were the only idea.
Okay.
So let's say like Shabbos or something, you know? It's like good for a person to like recognize there's a Borei Olam, it's like a very important reality about our world, you know?
Right.
Like, let's say 1 week the person didn't feel like doing Shabbos, and you wouldn't do it. Like, would there be anything really, like, wrong with that? If that was the only idea behind mitzvahs?
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, like, analogy to, like, a diet or something, you know?
Right.
In general, a person can see the idea that, like, watching what he eats can help him. But, like, if he's, like,
right.
once a month wants to, like, pig out a little bit. Like,
right.
Like, it's not.
It's not going to hurt him.
And he's still, like, benefiting fully, I would say,
right.
pretty much on the diet. Also, there would be no idea of like being like the Daphne from Mitzvahs or like Machmir.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think there might be other ideas in the system maybe would
yeah, right.
explain these things beyond just like a philosophical
yeah.
or so psychological good for a person.
Yeah, it's a good question. I did something pretty careless about this actually recently.
Yeah.
Exact question. that exact question, because he says in the Shel Minyan, I think, says that the he says Masusiag LeTorah. It's the first mention of Pirkei Avos. So he says is that the real there's a Gemara, I think, which says that the Rabbanans are more chaviv before God or something like that than the Arises. You know, he says, why? He says, because in the Rabbanans, you express Yiras Hashem, which is the essence of all mitzvahs. Because it's Yiras Hashem because you have a fear of, like, violating, so you make a siyag. You know? So he says, and that's the essence of Yiras Hashem, is the essence of all mitzvahs, and, like, the Rabbanans express that more so therefore, in a certain sense, the Rabbanans are more cherished than the Arises, you know? So that came to that, right? That plays into your question.
A little bit.
Like, what's the idea of, you know, worrying? What are you so worried for? Big deal. So you violate a mitzvah once in a while.
Right.
You get the main perfection of the mitzvah just because, like, let's say by accident you end up violating a mitzvah. Now what? Now, let's say I'm the Kedusha or something like that. So if one time by accident they slip up, now I'm not a Kadosh. Right. Like, what's...
You argue with accidental
altogether, it doesn't...
No
right.
On you,
right. Right. Yeah. But you're saying it's even on purpose. That's the full brunt of your question is even like on purpose once in a while.
Like once a year, you don't feel like making
Shabbos.
It's hard to say that that's really going to like have an impact on your whatever idea you're benefiting from Shabbos. It's hard to think that's going to challenge that much.
Uh-huh. Okay. So did you have an answer?
No. I mean, no. I sense that there could be something else involved besides just like a... suggestions that are useful to you as like a human being, you know, you better yourself with.
I challenge your example, Shabbos. Because if you don't keep Shabbos, that's like philosophically wrong in itself, I think. Whereas,
saying that one time is harmful?
Yeah, meaning it's not keeping Shabbos is like contrary, that's like a fundamental in Judaism, Shabbos. Not keeping that is basically saying like you don't find that idea important. Versus like your other
kids. What he's saying is it's important to have the idea of a Borei Olam.
Mm-hmm.
But does that idea is accomplished through me keeping Shabbos 99% of the time or whatever, equal if I keep it 100% of the time?
Right.
You know, like what do I have to do? Whatever? Like I understand I need that idea, but just like I need the idea of eating low cholesterol, doesn't mean every single time I eat I have to have low cholesterol. It's an overall way of life. So I have the idea of God as the creator of most of the Shabbos, but once in a while.
And if you never kept Shabbos, or you kept
right.
half the year, then I understand.
Right?
It seems like you're still going the basic, false, the essential philosophical perfection if you kept Shabbos every week except for one, two.
So can you like boil down the question to, generally speaking, like do you have to, you know, like is philosophically, do you have to do the entire mitzvah all the time in order to reap the philosophical benefits of it? Or can you take a break once in a while?
Right.
Well, the premise of my question, I guess, is that you still gain the basic philosophical perfection
from doing it 99% of the time.
Yeah, but it seems like that we're not, we don't view that as like, okay, there's like, you know, like mitzvahs being binding 100% of the time, and there's an idea of like being adopted in mitzvahs and machmir in mitzvahs.
Alright.
Right.
Okay. So, anyone else object to the question or the example, or anyone have an answer?
Shmuel, when you were saying that kashrus, though, right? Because, like, when you break away from, you decide not to keep kashrus once, right? You're like denying the whole idea of what it's there for. Right, it's to suppress your repetitive, you know, desires. By breaking it once, that's exactly what it's trying to suppress.
Well, I guess, but you could just say, look, in general, I don't. In general, whenever I have a taiva, I don't. But once in a while, you know.
Yeah, but you're not.
I didn't say, and you're saying is like the idea is, I never break it. That's part of the suppression. Once I start making an exception, that's kind of against the.
That was one approach to
those. Right. You could argue the point, though. You could have a way of...
It's not the same, though, by Shabbos. Like, Shabbos is
I understand, right? You're saying that you can see it a little more by kashrus or something, because part of the idea of control is that you don't start making exceptions whenever you want. Part of the idea of control. Right, but it doesn't know if you can necessarily do that by every single mitzvah. That's an interesting question. Yeah, Yaakov, you had that question?
Yeah, it's like, who said that it's the only way to look at
heaven's with? Oh, okay. Maybe not. What's another way? I mean, you're right. That's the one. That's the math senses. There's another way to answer. It's like, maybe there's whatever way there is to look at it, though. Like, what's the big deal if you don't do it, if you do it most times and not every single time?
Right.
You know, like, why is it important that I'm so super careful about doing it every single time? Once in a while, look, I understand mitzvahs are good, but once in a while, I want to just kind of cheat a little bit. Like, big deal.
Maybe it's not, like, solely for your benefit.
Okay,
for
what?
You, maybe you'll have to listen to what Shem said also.
Okay,
also.
For why? Like, what, for what purpose? I guess that's the question.
Right.
You're right, it sounds like something like that, but, like, what's the...
Yeah.
Because God said so? I mean, you could just say, because that's what he said. And then you could say, look, that's what he said, and therefore we can understand it, and that's it. Which is, you know, you could say that. This clearly is what he said. But the next question is, could we understand why that's what he said? Why that's the nature of the system, you know? But I think you're right. Ultimately, that's true. But instead of just having to say, look, he said so, and that's what he said, and we can't, you know, it'd be better if we can understand why that's good for us, or why that is the nature of the system, or something like that, you know?
To me, part of it's that it's for you, your benefit. The other part of it's that you should know that it's your benefit. You shouldn't fall away from it.
Okay. Fine, but I can also my benefit 99% of the time. Like, why is it, right? It kind of begs the question.
I have two thoughts about it.
Two thoughts, okay.
One, I was saying to Matt before, like, just practically, you have to have, like, a completely binding system, otherwise it just doesn't last.
Okay.
That's, like, a more, like, basic type of answer.
Okay.
It's a love it answer.
Right. I mean, wasn't the question is why are
the
you...
The H word.
Wasn't part of the question why are you five all the time?
Yeah.
Why can't you just...
It's an answer. Like, what's the Torah going to say? Keep it...
Meaning maybe... Yeah,
when
maybe
you're in the mood, when you're in the mood to not do it.
Right.
Right, when you're in the mood to keep kosher, then keep it. But when you're in the mood to do it, to violate it, then you're allowed to violate it.
Right. But it's almost like saying the Torah had to come out strong, because otherwise it just wouldn't...
Maybe one chacham or two chachamim
right.
To keep the system.
Right, that may have been Avram system, and presumably that was. That's what, isn't that what they say? Like, you see, for instance, Yehuda slept with his ona. Right, there's a particular time and moment where he was need is necessary for him to do it. He felt whatever in his situation it was, and he did it. But it doesn't mean that in general the Bnei the Shvatim were sleeping with his onas in general. That wasn't their dara. But there was no halachic system, and at a given time, and whatever, right? But he didn't know. So you see, is like, for an individual living a life of perfection, that is the method. If I'm in a certain state of mind, then maybe it's appropriate for me, a certain derech ha-chaim of Kedusha, and different situations. I mean, of course, you have to use chachma and then properly guide it, which is not so easy to do. It's part of the benefit of the Torah that we, you know, gives us a system. But in theory, each chacham does on his own. But now that you have Sinai, the idea was not just to have... That works for a guy who's honest, like Yehuda. For your average guy on the street to say, well, just try to use your seichel, and just try to control yourself when you... You know, like every person tries to control himself. Every guy tries to control himself about eating, but yet so many people overeat. Every guy tries himself about everything. But there's no... things don't work that way, right? So what works is, and this was God's plan of Sinai, was the way the ideas of the Torah are propagated and maintained, Lidora, for all the thousands of years which they have been, and they didn't fall away like other philosophical systems, but they're maintained, was through the system of halacha. And halacha has a legal code, which is compromising in a certain sense, but it's also their strict laws. So it gives you the ability to enjoy yourself, but at the same time, there are strict guidelines. And if the law was, keep the mitzvah 99% of the time, that's not a structure. or keep it unless you're in the mood, and every once in a while you can kind of violate it, then everyone's going to violate it, and you're not going to have a system anymore. So the system has to be uncompromising in its, you know, in its laws, otherwise it's not a law and it's not a system. It can't allow a person just to have a, you know, once in a while exception card to get out of things. And if you didn't have that system, then you wouldn't have the very ideas of the mitzvahs. If you wouldn't know about Shabbos, and you wouldn't know about kashrus, and you wouldn't have all the benefits of the Torah, if not for the fact that the Torah set up a system which is binding. Now you can't now say, oh, so now why can't I go against it? Because the whole reason why it exists is because it's binding. The whole reason why you have any benefit of it is because it's binding. So that demands that you have to maintain its binding, to act in line with its binding nature. Otherwise you're undermining the whole thing. That's why it works. If you're going to do it, then everyone should do it. If everyone should do it, then you wouldn't even have the whole thing. So its whole existence is contingent upon the fact that it's systematized and, you know, unbreakable. Right? That's a good answer, no? I have another answer, but yeah, that reminds you of?
It reminds you of what the Zimmer said. Muscle that a king told all his people to do like 30 fields.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. It's like, how could they won't be able to do 3 or 5?
Right.
So because so
that they
can
get to
there. Right. Try and they'll get as much as they can.
Right.
So
just
won't be able to do, but do as much as you can.
Right.
So it's just
right.
Kind of idea.
Right. Right.
It's like the glue.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, what was the other idea?
Okay, so are we good with this one? Is this satisfactory? I mean, for the other one I'm not so sure about, so let's just make sure we're good here. Make sure this answers the question.
I mean, it's just... At the end of the day, I think there's really nothing philosophically wrong with that.
Oh. Yeah, so right. So that's like the kind of answer you thought, you sensed. This is not the intrinsic answer. This is like
right.
A secondary answer that you're thinking of, right?
Right, just like you need a...
It's kind of the idea of Tariq Mitzvahs. I think the idea is that is the idea of Tariq Mitzvahs as opposed to like the Derech Avinu. The idea of the Avos, according to those who show how they didn't have Tariq Mitzvahs, was a philosophically perfected life. But the Torah is not just a recommendation of how to do it. The Torah is setting up a system which is lasting Lidoros in order to do it. And that's contingent upon the bindingness of the system, you know, and the incontrovertibility. That's a word. System. And I think that is an interesting final point, though, is like the fact that you even have that philosophical, you know, the intrinsic philosophical is because of the fact that God set up the system in that way so many years ago. You know, so that's like, it's part of the system. You can't now say, I'm a beneficiary of that system, which exists only because it's binding, and now I don't want to be keep its binding nature. That's like a selfish type of, you know. You have to continue to propagate it. That's why it's a good. You hold it's a good. You hold it's a good for all of mankind. You know that you only have it because all the people until this point have maintained it in this manner, and this is a good that it should continue to exist in that manner. And therefore, you have to go along with it, even in an instance where, according to your best assessment, it would have been appropriate for you to sleep with the Zonah, not understanding the Torah, you know? It doesn't matter, but it's better for you to have the system of the Torah than in this one instance to have to take the pain of controlling yourself and whatever, you know? Yeah. But I'd say what it doesn't exactly explain, though, is like the idea of Zahiros and of like Shogeg, you know? You could try to argue is that that also is protecting the system. Like the system has to be, the idea of a Siyag means you have to protect the system because the practicality of there's a tendency of a system to be, you know, washed away over time. And Siyags protect the system, it's a fence. Idea of offense, a person who doesn't, that's a pasuk. I think in, I don't know, in Mishlei maybe. Hurry together, yishkan nachash. If you break down a fence, a snake's going to bite you. So it means the guy puts a snake around a fence around this field. That's what maintains the system. And if not, we would have lost our system. Right? So that's why they set these things up. So you got to be zayir about these things because the heuris is what allows the system to be maintained. If you have a carefree attitude about it, then the system falls apart. What allows the system to continue is the fact that there's a din of zehiros and shmira of the Torah and Mitzvos. So like you could have a similar kind of an answer is that the system itself demands a zehiros, especially in things which are of a higher significance. You know, like it's like shogeg is like by like the Ramban says only by krisos. You know, by more chomer mitzvos is a greater degree of zehiros that has to be, you know. But that's still not, I was thinking still of another idea. But that's, how does that, does that explain it, or?
A little bit.
A little bit, right?
Yeah, kind of, I don't know, it's not as convincing that the system would break down.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. But I mean, in any particular siyag, that is why the Chama made it.
A lot of times these,
Well, that's, right, that's that other question which we never got to, right? But, you know. But oftentimes you could. Oftentimes you could. And I think in general we're not, you know, it's, that is why they set it up, so you have to kind of believe them that it did. I mean, you have to think, we could take particular examples and whatever, but they're not just making them because they felt like it. They're making them because they thought it's a siyag and it's a fence and it's protection. So presumably it means they thought it was going to, without making it, it would have a problem. But I mean, it's a separate discussion.
How rampant?
Well, I think the problem is there's a slippery slope in these things. You know, this things slowly fall apart, and the next, you know, once there's a point where something gets too far gone, and then you end up losing the thing. You know, so you have to, you know, keep something intact. The point is to last, like, forever. So, you got to maintain it. It has to be, like, you know, these things, they slowly fall away. Once you start losing somewhat, then you lose it further, you lose it further, you lose it further, and so you're not getting lost.
See, I don't know if you lose it, and yet people maybe buy it any more often.
Oh, so yeah, I guess. I guess.
Like the show you can see more often.
Yeah, okay, fine. Let's let that part slide for now. The other idea was like this. Ultimate benefit in the mitzvos is not only the particular benefit of, let's say, kashrus is that you have control of your taivos, and Shabbos is you know about the Borei Olam, and I don't know, whatever, every mitzvah. But the ultimate benefit, okay, yira, like you kind of know your place, and you recognize God as the supreme being who gave us the system, and you're a small, you know, creature in the big universe which God created, that, you know, that kind of an attitude. And that's like the ultimate benefit of the mitzvahs, is that you create a certain hakaras Hashem and a yiras Hashem on the part of the person. Now, and when you do the mitzvahs, it's like there's different attitudes of ways you could relate to something. If someone tells you to do something, so you can relate to it as like, okay, I'll try to do it if I could, you know. And then there's an idea of being careful. So the thinking is that if you have a proper idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Mitzvah, as the Melech Malchei Melachim who gave us the system, it's like you can relate to it in like a haphazard manner. You know, like there's an idea of relating to mitzvahs is I'll kind of try my best, but sort of, but not really, you know, not give it a full effort, just I won't purposely violate it. It's like, that's like the psychological, it has like a psychological attitude that comes with it, which is contrary to Yiras Hashem. And if a person has a tzivoy from a king, for instance, a human king, or someone who he has a great awe and respect and akara of, then he has to take it like seriously and be careful about it. It brings with it a Yiras. So it's like part of the perfection of the mitzvahs is you're subordinating yourself to the tzivoy Hashem. And that engenders a certain relationship between a subordination to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that is the mitzvahs are the tzivoy from the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, like the attitude should, like the doing the mitzvahs in that person with that attitude of zehiros helps a person in his subordination to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and in his like relating to God as the Malach. You know, and contrarily, if you have a more carefree attitude about it, then it creates a different emotional relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know? So, like, for instance, in a siyag, in those mitzvahs, in a derabanan, in a deraisa, you could say, you don't necessarily think of my subordination to Kadosh Baruch Hu. You just think of it as there's an intrinsic benefit in what I'm doing. So I'm doing it because I want to have self-control. I'm doing it because I want to have whatever. But in the Rabbanon, there is no intrinsic benefit. The benefit is that you're involved in protecting God's system and you're supporting yourself to the halacha, to the halachic system. But there's no intrinsic benefit, then there would be a deraisa. The idea of the Rabbanon is it's purely like protective. It's purely just part of the system and it's protecting God's system. So it's like in doing that, you so to speak, focus on the benefit of accepting God and His system and not on the intrinsic for primary benefit. So in a certain sense, that hooks you more into the perfection of your accepting God and His malchus and, His ratzon, and that's Yiras Hashem. So that's like a more primary perfection than the particular perfection of all mitzvahs, is the attitude that a person has towards his his place in the universe and Borei Olam. How does that sound? I think if it makes sense, I mean, I don't think about it some more. It's an important idea. Because I think we often think of mitzvahs as just, like, in a certain sense, it's sort of true, but this is a wrong way to relate to it. It's like a self-serving type of a thing. Like, for the particular perfections, like...
Your perfection.
Yeah, which this, even Yiras Hashem is also your perfection. That's why I don't want to make it, like, it's true that it's self-serving, but you don't think of it in terms of the Yiras Hashem aspect of it. You think of it in just in terms of, like, self-control, psychological happiness, I don't know, which, but ultimately Yiras Hashem is that, and it's something, but somehow we lose sight of, like, God and the controlled, rational person, as opposed to the idea that I'll have a subordination to the God and His world and His system, so, like, one can't forget the Nachmacha and Lachman in the picture, and his attitude. There's a way you relate to something by someone who you respect. There's an attitude. There should be an attitude towards the mitzvah. So this is, the itza from Borei Olam. It's like a psychological point, almost, It's like, that's just the way... Oh, one second, let me just remember. Let me see, this is a Rambam like this. It says in Kshemachasel Yechasene Barak, sorry, with your foot, Ela Biyodo, with your hand, Obisakin, with a knife, or with Kli, with a Kli. So what's the difference? Why can't you do with your foot? Either way it works, I'm just covering the blood over, who really cares? If it works, it works. It's not technically lacking, I'm covering it. So it says, Kadesh Leinag Minag Bizayon, the mitzvah, via Bezuyos Alef. So you won't be Noeg Minag Bizayon, and then they will be Bezuyos to you. She'in ha'kavod la'atzman shel mitzvah. So the kavod isn't for the mitzvahs themselves, el l'misha tziva b'han baruch hu, but for He who commanded in them. V'hatzilenu me'lamashesh b'choshech, and He saved us from like groping in the dark. V'arach osam ner li'yasher ha'mayasim, and He set up for us like a candle, a light, to straighten our actions. V'or my pathways, for my feet and for my pathways. So he says that the kavod is not for the mitzvah itself, but it's for the one who's commanded us in the mitzvahs and gave us this great system that allows us to live a good life. So it's like, in doing the mitzvahs, you have to look at them as from the Mishta Tziva Bahem, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a great vehicle of us to live a proper life. And if you really relate to them in that way, so to treat them like something we do with your foot, you don't do that with something which is important. You don't, even if practically you could get done, it's just not the way you do things. And if you really had a hakara and related to mitzvahs in that way, it would have to impact you. And to treat it bezuyos is just, you're not really in touch with the idea of mitzvahs. Yeah, is it hot in here?
You have Stu, one of your followers, follow me on Twitter today.
Which? Oh, I have the girl. She has to send it, though.
Big shocker. Yeah. You ever hear of Borgat Boss?
Yeah, Borgat Boss. He's my manager now.
What?
Make a move, yeah.
He's your manager?
Not official, but what do you do?
That guy followed me too.
It's better.
This
yeah. Good?
That's the reason why
I realize the idea of Yeras Hashem, that it's a system from God, and when you're, what are you careful about and what you're not careful about? Something that you value regarding something relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and this is being important. Listen to whatever else you consider important. Anything which you think is important in your life, you do carefully. I mean, everyone has their own areas which they're careful about, you know? Whatever it is that's important to you, you kind of do it in a way which is with zeros. So it's an indicative of your attitude of what's, you know, what you value. And it propagates itself. Yeah. Good? Okay. So, of course, I think that also answers, I mean, implicit is that answers the first question about, you know, why you have to do the mitzvahs. But, I mean, the other, it's a more intrinsic answer, I think. I think the system is the answer for the first question. See, I guess, like, the premise of that, the first question is like, what Taryag Mitzvahs is God giving you good recommendations. It's like, beforehand, Avraham Avinu figured out on his own, and now God's giving you recommendations. You know, so then you say, look, it's just still recommendations of perfection, so what, I have to follow it every single time. But that's not the idea of the Bris of Torah. The Bris of Torah is God setting up an Am and a system which is going to last the Dora Doros, and that's why it's a Bris. That we're accepting upon ourselves to bind ourselves to it in an unswerving way, and we also get benefits for it. I mean, there are benefits to Klal Yisrael. We get brachos and we get a greater schar and for doing that, and we also get a klalos for it. But that's like the commitment of Sinai. I think that's the bris. What are we agreeing to? We're agreeing to do that. And we get rewarded and we get a greater schar, even when we may feel like it's not best for me at this particular moment. But that's the way the system is maintained, and that's our commitment at Sinai, that to do such a thing. And obviously it's better for us in the long run, but it is an acceptance. That's what we accepted, Nasa and Ishma. Thus, there's these certain changes later on. Yeah, okay.
So, like, how do you reconcile certain Nisim, like Makas Bechoros, let's say? Doesn't seem like something that's just a natural event, like you could understand when the event of Korach, or you can understand other Nisim that happened. You know, like,
why is Korach easier? Because.
Think like if there's a possibility, you can say that, you know, Moshe got the Nevuah. And that there would be a sinkhole at this spot. There's a sinkhole, and everyone just fell in and died.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And what about that, like, every Bechor happens to die?
I don't know.
Why is that more more harder to explain than, let's say, a sinkhole at a given spot at a given time? Isn't it just, like, less likely? As people die, people just drop dead.
Yeah, but it seems like you have one specific kind of person dying. There's no, like, they're not all in the same place. They're not. They have no relation to each other except for the fact that they're all firstborn sons. Yes.
What you're saying is like this: is that God? You're saying it doesn't bother you that God could somehow program into the Big Bang, that there'll be a sinkhole at a given spot at a given time in history.
Right.
So that's fine. So presumably, it's equally, you wouldn't have a problem God programming that a given person would die at a given time, right? Just randomly die, one person, let's say. Would that bother you?
No, that
would
not.
No. Fine. Now, two people. Whatever he does to make that one person die, then he could presumably do another thing to make two people die in different places. I mean, the same, right? However he's going to work these things out into the thing, it means all it is just adding a higher statistical, you know, degree of difficulty. But if you're saying is that God, in the creation, had the built in all the particulars and had the control to bring about particulars, the fact that Bechoros, so you're looking at it as like the law of Bechoros. There's no law of nature like that. But if you look at it as that he just kind of programmed it in a way that this particular guy and that particular guy and that particular guy and that particular guy, and God knows who's the Bechoros, so he may not be setting up. And that's the Eloi Neimalach means there's no law of nature of Bechoros. It's kind of like.
So, like, evolutionarily, it could have happened throughout years that once you get to this generation, there was a gene mutation of some sort or whatever. And
oh, yeah, right. But I think that's, right, that's, I think, Loyal Neymalach, there's no way to explain it through any law of nature. There's no law of nature of Bechoros. But there is an idea, God knows Bechoros, and God could set it up that all of these guys will die, and, you know. But I think well, that's, I think, the question is that the Machlokas Ram and Chazal is like, are Shinuyim built into the laws of nature somehow? Or are they... or are they like God changing them, manipulating it? Or is it kind of built into the initial conditions and whatever, you know? I think it helps, though, with the idea of, like, second law of thermodynamics and entropy. Like, all Nisim basically are just improbable. Right? With all these things, is even the sea splitting, is there's a definite probability that the sea will split. Very, 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 very small, you know? Changed everything in the initial conditions that we'd, 20 billion years later, lead to this universe. How did he do that? I don't know, but he apparently had some very high degree of control in the initial conditions to be able to somehow bring about, have an asteroid hit Earth, kill the dinosaurs, I don't know, whatever, everything. The measure of it's mind-boggling to think how in the initial bang, tiny little big bang, all packed into there to somehow unfold 20 billion years later to have what we have, you know? With all the details and all the degree and all the whatever, now to put in an additional miracle or whatever, it's just a matter of the setting it up that the position of the particles arrange themselves in a particular time and place and whatever. You know, it's just, the probabilities are already staggeringly and crazy, you know. Just whether he could have the control to such a degree, I mean, that's, you know, it seems that if you say Chazal, presumably that's what, if you say that, that's what he did, then presumably he could have that degree of control over the particulars, and that's what he did. You know? Yeah, it's kind of interesting. But I don't think...
It doesn't seem likely that this would happen.
Yes, it's right. But it wouldn't seem likely that you'd have the probability of it, of a Rand being our universe, is that... Right. So, remember that, I would tend to the time. Penrose calculated that if you'd randomly is 1 out of 10 to the, imagine it's 10 to the power 10 to the power 123. But you have to think about what that number means. It's not 10 to the 123. No, it's not 10 to the 123. 10 to 123 is 1 with 123 zeros.
It's 1/10.
It's 10 to that power. Okay, now let me show you what that means. Let's think of 10 to the 10 to the 2.
10 okay? to the 10 to the 2.
So what does that mean? Well, what's 10 to the 2? 10 to the 2 is 100.
Right.
10 to the 10. Right, so that's 100 zeros. So you're going from 2 zeros to 100 zeros.
Right.
Okay, let's try 10 to the 10 to the 3. So 10 to the 3 is 1,000. 3 zeros.
Right.
10 to the 10 to the 3 is 10 with 1,000 zeros.
Okay, I
see. 10 to the 4, 10 to the 4 is 10,000. 10 to the 4 is 1 with 10,000 zeros. So now you're dealing with not 123 zeros, 10 to the 123 zeros.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, I think it's the number, but that's ridiculous. It's like crazy. There's no, those numbers don't, you know, it's like bigger than any number of anything in any, those numbers don't exist even in the universe, you know. Size of the universe, and I think as he says, I think the way Penner says it is, there's more zeros on that than there are particles in the universe. That's more zeros than zeros themselves are, you know. So that's the arrangement. That's the degree of specificity in the arrangement of the initial conditions, you know. And that's kind of a lower estimate or whatever. It's not, but that's through rigorous calculations he came to that. I don't think anyone argues on that. So my point is I don't know exactly how exactly you'd arrange to have a sinkhole in any given spot or whatever.
Right.
But whatever. It's all a matter of statistics and probabilities and whatever. And
right. I guess when you put it that way, it's not really a question.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But it is astounding. I mean, that's, we had a post that's called The God of Modern Science. You should read that post. It's like, you don't have to follow the rest of the stuff there. But it basically, it's like, to basically program in, God programmed in, this is the cool point. In the creation of the Big Bang, he set up laws, qualitative, the laws themselves, then the constants within those laws. Those laws don't, without the constants being perfectly set, the laws don't really do anything. And then even if you have the right laws and the right constants, if you don't have the proper arrangement of all the particles, like this 10 to the 3, also the laws are simply don't mean anything. They wouldn't do anything. So it's like God, so to speak, from nothing, he had to like balance, I'm talking figuratively, but like, balance those three things such that none of them, even two of them, don't amount to any universe without all three of them being properly arranged. The laws, the qualitative laws, the constants on those laws, and then the initial arrangement of them, you know? And like if you imagine trying, so to speak, trying to create a universe, if you had two of them, then you just have to adjust the arrangement, that would be one thing. But the arrangement itself doesn't have any meaning if you don't have the right laws. And even if you have the right laws, then without the right constants in those laws, it doesn't have any meaning, you know? So it's astounding, you know, the chachma involved in, that's what you call like yesh me'ayin, from nothing. It's not like there are laws and there are constants. You just had to figure out how to arrange the particles. And you kind of test if I arrange them like, this will work. No, you know? You have the number, there's like the degrees of freedom, so to speak, in the creation is... It's like there's no framework, which that's why they even say yesh me'ayim. It's not even like a framework to confine the choices. It's just totally from nothing. Yeah. Yeah. It's unbelievable. It's 20 billion years later, it resulted in like this. You know. So then you say, well, how did he make an ace? That would be how could you program an ace into it? I don't know. It's nothing. Yeah. Like, I don't know how, but, you know, yeah, it's not, like, a question.
It's weird, though, that people deny that.
Yeah, I know, they don't want to accept that. They don't realize how astounding.
Be, like, ultimate,
I know, right, how astounding it is.
Power of God.
It's not from.
It's not from, I know. The Chachma is, like, it's, like, so, you know, like, awesome, you know, to think about that. It's like crazy. So you can't even wrap your head around the whole... But you could enough. That's what's cool about it. If you study it, you could see enough to see how amazing it is. Which is, if you just think, how did God create the world? I don't know. It's like you could kind of get a little bit of a grasp of what's involved. And then appreciate it, you know? Like just to see a world and say, I don't know, how do you do that? It's like you see the different elements. And how... perfect they are arranged and designed in a way that's, you know, you could really have an appreciation of the Chachma of the thing.
Like a person who doesn't understand that, or like doesn't try to understand that,
mm-hmm.
Is he lacking in his...
Something, he's lacking in his something. There's a
like,
chazal.
Is there a different, like, is he lacking in Yiras Hashem, Ahavas Hashem?
Something. You know what it says? It says there's a person
tomorrow. I have to find that. Maybe I can find that this book. Give a little plug for this book, if I can find this one here.
Who's that?
What?
Who's that?
This book? Michal Maimar and Paskama.
Oh, see.
You know that? So it says like this. Let me see if I can find it, and then I'll tell you about the book.
If not, that's it.
Kol Hayodeya L'chashev T'chufos Mazalas. That's what I know. That's what I know. I don't know where it is. I think it goes like that. You have to also remember things a little bit, but I don't remember where anything is, but sometimes, here we go. Here it is. Shabbos, I name it off. That's all I remember. Kol Hayodeya L'chashev.
So you look up that.
Kol Hayodeya L'chashev b'tkufos mazalos ve'ino choshev alav hakasav omer v'as po'al Hashem lo yabitu.
But that's for like any phrase?
Any phrase like that. I mean, you got to remember the beginning of it.
Yeah.
Because it's an alphabetical order at the beginning of it. But like oftentimes you know these Maimar Chazals that you've heard. You know, I guess over the years you pick up hearing these things. And, you know, You have to have, like, a good enough memory to remember the first few words of it, but not good enough to remember where it is, you know? Like, that's kind of my memory, you know? Like, I kind of know these things, how they start, but, you know, so... But, like, there are a lot of things like that. Sometimes you can even look up a word. Like, Tikkun Mazal, sometimes it will reference you to whatever. But usually it's the phrase. But, you know, like, you'll say, V'alzer yechmo chazek ha'gol v'torah, I don't know where's that. I don't know, things like... There are a lot of phrases, you know, sayings that you know. Like, Gimel Dvarim, I don't know. So every next time you come across a phrase like that, we have this in yeshiva. It's called
Yisrafai the Astros.
Yeah, Kolei Deah. So it's a good book to have. I mean, I guess nowadays the Bar Ilan, you can find these things. You know, this is like an old school type of thing. Now, anyway, you know, you can write, you can type that into Bar Ilan or into Machon Mamre. But you don't even need to. You can just do it on Machon Mamre. Kolei Deah Lachashir. As long as you spell everything exactly right, because otherwise it's not going to find the right words. Yeah, I don't know how to use Bar-Ilan either. But,
I tried using it the other day.
You know, it's so scary, right?
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
I know. I know, it's true. Okay, good. I don't feel so bad now. So it says, Omer Shua ben Levi, Mishim Bar Kabra. Kol yodei l'chashev t'kubas mazalos. Anyone who knows how to calculate the, like, the constellations and the dates and astronomy, basically. The Eino Choshev and doesn't, Alav HaKas of Omer. The Espoel Hashem lo yabitu, Maisa Yadav lo ro. He doesn't, the work of God, he doesn't look at, and his handiwork, he doesn't see. Amar Shmuel, Rachmeni Amar Yochanan, Minayin Shemitzvah al Hadam l'chashev itkubas mazal, Shnemar Shmartem Asisem, Ki Chachmaschem Vinaschem Eino Ha'amem. Ezu chachma ubina shilene hamim hayavayomer zechish of tekuvas mazalos. Yeah, so it's like there's two things. I guess one says that the world will, this is a chachma, the Jews should be chachamim. But and then this other point is that that's where the Paul Hashem, you could see the great chachma Hashem. So a person doesn't do it. That's what it says. It's like a person has the ability to see great chach, the great chachma Hashem. What could be greater than seeing the chachma on this? But it's not for me. You know, that's just saying it's wrong. You know? Yeah. They say that, there's another Gemara which says that, I forget what it was, I think it says Shmuel. He says, like, I know the stars like I know the streets of an Arda. Something like that, you know? Like he's as familiar with the stars, the constellations and all the stars like he is with the streets in his town. Something like that. You know, that he was like holding. And but you see, it's saying if you have the ability to do it, then it's a lack. It's like turning away from the Chachma. And it is something to be said. I mean, the way the Rambam describes it, like Avos Hashem, he says you see the Chachma and the Bria. There's something like the Chachma in the Torah is also true. But I mean, the Chachma, there's something special about the Chachma of like the Mazalos and about the universe. It's a grander Chachma, I think, than much larger than Torah, broader and grander than the Chachma. Nothing against Chachma. It's Torah, for sure, but it's a different type of a level. Let's just say Shmaya Misabim Kvod Kel. Let's just say it's because one of the Farshim says, and maybe Rashi. It's through the Shemayim, it's like the greatness of the cosmos. It's like talks to the Chachmas Hashem in a way, really, you know, larger than. It's interesting. Rebbe one time had a thing, and they noticed this, is that I think that if you. That you often find physicists who talk about the wonders of God. You also have physicists who deny it, no doubt. But you often find, like, biologists or psychologists are oftentimes more likely, I don't know if it's a formal study, but more likely to be kofrim than physicists. Like, you have a lot of physicists who talk about the splendor of God's, you know, they use the word God a lot, you know, when they study the cosmos. But when you talk about biology, biologists, friends, the greatest biologists nowadays are kofrim, you know, like Dawkins and those guys. But psychologists like Freud also, you know, like psychologists or biologists. But I think what I wanted to say is like, it's like when if you're in the world of man, like biology is like life and man, it's like you're grounded in your world and like man around the significance of a man. You know, life, man, us. But like when you study the universe, physics, the cosmos. It's like you're brought above the world of man, and you could have a greater appreciation. Like, you have really to step outside of yourself and appreciate the great wisdom out there. But it's like the biologist is still grounded in, like, looking at man as important, so to speak. So you could see the chachma, and there is chachma there, but it's like all like in the world of man. So it's like harder for him to step out of the man's small mind, the perspective, and to see the greatness in the, you know, even though it's still there. But that's, and then that's what he's explaining, Shmai Misap and Kod Kel. Because, like, in theory, there's Kod Kel in anything. I mean, you study a human cell, I mean, you see the great chachma, and is there any lack of chachma in anything in the creation? But it's like some of the vastness and grandeur, and, you know, it also has, like, throughout your spirit, you see how small you are, and, you know, it's like a different type of an effect. Yeah.
It reminds me of, there's this theme in Davin that I've been noticing a lot lately. Like, when I realized it, like, I saw it, it was, like, almost everywhere. Like in the Talmud thing you're quoting now, it starts out like Hashemayim Sam Kodkel, and then it like segues like immediately into like Torah Hashem Tamim Veshivat Nefesh. Like you see that all over. Like it like combines
both of them.
Those things into one thing.
Mm-hmm. Right, you mean the chachma in both. Is that your interpretation of it?
Yeah, I mean,
well,
I'm
you
not
know,
like 100% sure, but I thought that was one thing, and another thing was just like.
No.
Don't get the idea that it's like different sources.
Oh, right.
One
it's true.
That
right, it's true. It's interesting, though, because it seems, that's what saying, Kol HaYodei L'Chashev T'Kos M'Sel, means it's not for everybody. Like, Torah is designed that it could talk to everybody on their level, you know? But the Chishev T'Kos M'Sel is like, sort of, it takes us a person who's able to do it. Doesn't, you know, but a person who could do it and doesn't, it's a, he's like missing out on a certain type of recognition of the Pol Hashem. I guess what?
Ram said at the beginning.
Yeah, right. The Davarkatan, Davarkat, all that kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's cool. It reminded me of that thing. I showed it to Ayala. But, you know, you've seen those, like, we had it on the blog, but those interactive sites which show how big the universe is.
Yeah, I love that.
And how small. It goes like in both directions. Like, amazing, that thing. There's a video also, it's called Powers of Ten, I think it's called. I think maybe we put it on later on the blog, but it's...
Oh, so we go out.
Yeah, you go out and then in, both ways. You go really big out there, and then he goes back, sucks back down, and then goes to smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller in both directions. You know, you see how big the universe is and how small the universe is, and the Chachma on every single level. You know, you realize they call man middle world. That's what they call him, middle world, because it's like, we're like right in the middle. In terms of order of powers of ten, thinking how big things get and how little things get. We're like kind of right, kind of in the center of the, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing,
yeah. I'm not sure it's more amazing, how big or how small. You know, it's like they're both amazing in their own way.
I'm just amazed that you could study the same thing, but like on different scales.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Galaxies have their own chakma, and the matter that makes them up has their own chakma. But
it's true.
And it's all one thing, though.
Yeah. It's true. Well, that's the part of the problem of quantum and relativity. It's like it doesn't quite unify.
Right.
Very little and very big, I think. Right, Matt? That's part of the problem, huh? It doesn't quite unify. But, you know, presumably it does.
Yeah, right.
That's the premise. That's why it's so bothersome, because from everything else we've seen, these things do seem to unify. So it seems to indicate that we're missing something. Yeah. Okay. Any other question? Okay. Maybe let's put it on hold the next time. And we didn't open the vault tonight, but...
I have some ready for it.
Yeah. Okay, that's kind of getting late. Maybe we'll save him for, you know.
I'm ready to go.
Okay. You got to get him in before you go to Israel, you know?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.